In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. And if I may say, a particular welcome back to Norma. It's good to see the Right Honourable Member for Merley Moss in her seat in the chamber. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. These words from the Creed, which echo our first reading from Acts. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, convey an historical truth and a spiritual reality. Of all the incidents in the earthly life of Jesus, that which brought that life to an end is perhaps the most problematic for the modern mind. The wording of the ascension story may suggest a medieval three-decker universe, with the earth positioned between heaven above and the netherworld below, and we face the challenge of explaining it in terms appropriate for today. But let there be no doubt that the ascension was an historical fact, as was the resurrection. The disciples had not expected Jesus to rise again. Mary of Magdala had gone to the tomb to anoint a dead body. And the two disciples on the Emmaus road had said, "We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Sorrow, of course, turned to joy as he appeared to his followers and gave them proof that he really was alive. And then there came that moment when he made it clear to them that there would be no more appearances, and they were commanded to wait for the coming of the Spirit. The message of Easter was that Christ had broken the bonds of death and opened the gates of eternal life for all who would turn to him. The message of Ascension Day was that that time of overlap between eternity and earth was over, and that there was a new day with new responsibilities and the prospect, with the coming of the Spirit, of new power. But the ascension story, if you like, raises the question the sort of child might ask, "Yes, but what happened to Jesus?" And that, the second part of our quotation answers, "Seated at the right hand of God." This was no retirement posting. There was no sign on the back of his chair saying, "Saviour Emeritus." It was not that he was in some celestial equivalent of the upper house, Lord Carpenter of Nazareth. As we read the New Testament, we will see that to be seated at the right hand of God is a metaphor. Being left-handed, I will allow the scripture writers their rightist prejudices. The right hand of God is a metaphor, firstly, a place of its earthly authority. Acts 2:33 states in words taken from Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, "Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you both see and hear." It was because he was seated in the place of authority that the church was empowered by the Spirit. That promise, fulfilled at Pentecost and never withdrawn, and as relevant now as it was then. It was because of who he was and where he was that Peter's audience were able to hear the good news and make it their own, and that we can with confidence proclaim the gospel in our day. A place of earthly authority. A place then also of heavenly authority. 1 Peter 3:22 says of Jesus, "Who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. There is no thing, there is no body anywhere that is not subject to the authority of the one who was crucified, arisen, and ascended. A place of earthly authority, a place of heavenly authority, and a place of intercession. Paul asks the church in Rome, Romans 8:34, to consider a question, and he gave them his answer. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. The sacrifice of Christ, that which brought into balance the disequilibrium between the absolute justice of God and the mercy that he longed to show to a rebellious world, that outpouring of divine love, of which we know the dimensions, for it is as broad as the manger, as high as the cross, and as deep as the empty tomb, that divine love is effective in taking our sins away. Because God the Son is at the right hand of God the Father, the promises of Scripture retain their validity for all time. The forgiveness offered to the penitent thief or to the disciples who had denied or betrayed him is offered to us too. We need to believe that. We need to believe that when faced with the mercy of God, there should be no buts, but there is a lifetime of therefores, a place of earthly and heavenly authority and of intercession, and a place of completion. The writer to Hebrews, chapter 10, 12, phrased it thus, "But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God." The tenses shift from the present to the past, but the underlying message is the same. The forgiveness that is ours when Christ intercedes for us is that which was won for us and for all people. I call Paul as my witness, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. That forgiveness was won for us by his one oblation of himself once offered at Calvary. His past action has current, continuing, and eternal validity. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. There is one last point that needs to be added. Earthly authority, heavenly authority, intercession and completion, but it is also a place of challenge for us. Imagine that you're a member of the church in Colossae. A letter has come from St. Paul, and it's being read in your service. Listen to these words. "So, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." May the statement that he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father become a spur to us. May we live as those who know that he who holds all authority in earth and heaven is interceding for us, that the price for our sins has been paid. May we therefore, as Paul said in that letter to Colossae, seek in the power of the Spirit to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. When faced with the mercy of God, there should be no buts, but there should be a lifetime of therefores. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. I ask myself this question, and I ask it, if I may, of you as I bring my remarks to a close. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. What difference is that truth going to make in our lives this week?